Hello and welcome to this special festive edition of the AHDB podcast. I'm John Bates. It's Christmas time and I'm here with a selection box of experts from our market intelligence team to talk about all things festive and foodie. First, I'd like to welcome Sarah Baker, Phil Bicknell and Stuart Batchelor, our consumer insight gurus. I'll be turning to them in a few moments to find out about how Christmas performed for food and farming last year and what we might see this year and how Brexit might affect what we eat at this key time in the future. Judging from the surroundings of the festive farm shop, sales are brisk, the hampers are rushing out the door. Let's start with Phil Bicknell, who heads up market intelligence here at AHDB. Phil, there's been a few stories doing the rounds about the cost of Christmas going up. What's going on?
Hi, John. Well, I think you can pretty much guarantee that as November ticks over into December, we get a lot of media queries. It tends to be a lot of interest in terms of trying to understand what's happening with price and cost and availability of our Christmas dinner. So typically our phone starts ringing, just asking a few questions. What's in short supply? What might be a bit more expensive than last year? This year's no different. However, what I would say is that through the course of 2017, we've seen food inflation on the rise. From my perspective, all things being equal, the cost of our Christmas dinner this year is going to be a bit more expensive than it was 12 months ago.
In household spend terms, where does food stand, Phil?
I suppose one of the key things that I'm always keen to do, John, is to try and put things in perspective. Yes, we're talking about food inflation just edging over 4% right now, so a typical basket of food will be 4% higher than it was this time last year. However, let's not forget that if we go back 2 or 3 years, we were seeing continued deflation, i.e. falling prices in the food category. And in the long term, actually what we spend on food has been in long-term decline. So even today, despite some of the increases we've seen over the last 12 months, we're still typically spending less than 10% of our income on food.
Perhaps, Stuart, I could bring you in there, just talking a little bit about last Christmas. What have we seen with the year-on-year growth?
Well, Christmas 2016 was the biggest ever. Christmas is a funny time of year. Usual shopping patterns are thrown out of the window. And even when the economy is not performing as well as we'd like it to, consumers tend to spend a little more at Christmas and splash out and trade up.
So look ahead for us this year. What do you think is going to happen? You know, from a livestock perspective, what are the big sellers?
Well, in 2016, turkey had a really good year. And gammon also performed well. 10% volume growth was shown compared to the previous year. Every year, roasting jerks do really well. Processed pork products do well. Sausages and bacon, I suppose we all like our pigs in blankets. So I'd expect all of those products to perform well again this year. Maybe add cheese and a more premium potato into the mix as well.
We all enjoy the adverts from the retailers at Christmas. Are there any winners or losers?
Well, I could say that it's clear to see the influence that the John Lewis ads are having across the whole of the retail spectrum, including the less premium retailers. And this is borne out in sales because Aldi and Lidl had very good Christmases last year at one end of the market. Marks & Spencer's and Waitrose also performed very well in 2016. I could see that happening again. If you look at the 12-month promotion and advertising that Aldi and Lidl do, it's about price and value. At Christmas, it's not about price and value at all, it's about quality. Regardless of macroeconomic measures and consumer confidence, consumers will spend more at Christmas.
Turning to you, Sarah, here in the farm shop, there's plenty of produce ranging from cheese and meats and vegetables. The plate, of course, on the Christmas table is laden with British farmers' produce. But tell me, post-Brexit, could that produce be coming from elsewhere?
Well, John, it very much depends on the scenario that we find ourselves in post-Brexit. There could be both threats and opportunities. For instance, you're quite right, there are some amazing British produce on the plate there today. If you look at things like the potatoes, for instance, we may find under a WTO, World Trade Organization default position, that there's a significant opportunity for potato growers here in the UK to displace much of the imported product that currently comes in from the EU. We don't trade a huge amount of potatoes per se because they're such a high percentage of water, but we do trade a significant amount of processed potatoes, therefore your crisps and your snacks and all those sorts of things that go with Christmas, we could see replaced by British produce. However, if you look at under trade liberalisation, we may find that for certain sectors, for instance, your pork or your lamb or livestock generally, that we may be under threat from lower cost producers elsewhere in the world who, if we decided to unilaterally lower our tariffs, could undercut UK prices. So what we may see is, I don't think the plate itself will change hugely, but we may see that where that product comes from may change depending on what scenario we find ourselves in.
Sarah, tell me about the AHDB scenario work. For example, the impact on the availability of migrant labour.
Well, we very much wanted to start putting a framework about what does change look like around some of our Brexit work. So we set three different scenarios in our modelling work. Now, this is very much a cast the net and see where the landing zone is, see where the parameters are. It's not a forecast of what will happen. But what we did do is we sketched out the extremes. So, for instance, we looked at unilateral liberalisation, which is where the UK decides to unilaterally lower tariffs on all its agricultural products to zero. And we compared that with a World Trade Organization default, whereby we would be trading under WTO tariffs for all our agricultural products, and we compared how the different sectors would perform under those two scenarios. Now, with regard to labour, under trade liberalisation and the WTO default, we assumed that there would be some constrictions on the supply of labour. At the moment, the agricultural industry is heavily dependent on migrant labour for both its permanent and its seasonal workforce. So if you take, for instance, something like sprout picking. Now, if you're going out picking sprouts at this time of year, it's dark, it's cold, it's in out-of-town locations, it's not where the labour force is located, and therefore it's just not attractive to UK workers. And our evidence shows that the UK workers don't want those jobs. We're approaching an economy with near full employment at the moment where workers have more choice, so they're even less likely to choose those jobs. So in a post-Brexit scenario where access to that type of labour may be curtailed, you could find that there are significant labour shortages. And we know that the horticultural industry is already experiencing some labour shortages. That leaves them with two options, really. That leaves them with the option of increased mechanisation, which may or may not be possible in all sectors and also within the timeframes available, or the growers will look to relocate where the labour is plentiful. So we could see significant structural change in certain sectors in our industry, depending on how dependent they are on this migrant labour and what policies come forward in a post-Brexit world.
Christmas without sprouts? Unthinkable. Back to you, Phil, for the last word, if I may. What for you are the key things that farmers, growers and the wider industry can take away from this?
Well, for me, John, I think as kind of Stuart's hinted at, the market continues to evolve, continues to change. I think we spent over £500 million more last Christmas than the Christmas before. It's a reminder for me that as farmers, we just need to be really mindful of the evolving consumer demands and the consumer trends. And let's make sure that we are providing what the market wants and what the consumer wants.
That's it from us this time. Thank you to my guests, Sarah, Stuart and Phil. If you like what you heard from the Insight team, sign up and receive our quarterly Consumer Insight newsletter by visiting ahdb.org.uk/consumerinsight. From all of us here at AHDB, we wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. I'm John Bates. Thank you for listening.
Soundtrack files were created by Es ist nicht so ernst and Soundstack via Freesound and Eleanor Holdsworth.